Welcome back to the Lawn Hustle. We're the podcast where we help turn your green industry grind into a thriving business. I am your host, Andy Wilson, bringing you 16 years of experience and firsthand knowledge of the green industry. And tonight we have with us Richard with Richard's Lawn Care. Thank you for joining the Lawn Hustle.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me.
Well, tell us a little about yourself and where you're from and a little about your business.
Okay, yeah. So my name is Blake Richards with Richard's Lawn Care. I'm born and raised in Augusta, Georgia. I'm 30 years old. You know, lawn care has been my thing. You know, I've always been doing it since I was probably about maybe 10 years old. Started out with my dad's push mower and just kind of cutting grass in the neighborhood and built my clientele up, and then worked at a golf course for 4 or 5 years running the maintenance crew. Did good on that, and then I just ventured out and just kind of had my own company. Been running my own company for about 5 years now.
Well, let me start by asking you about your business, where you are as far as your goals for your business and what you want to try to achieve with your lawn care business.
Okay, good question. Really, honestly, man, the biggest thing that I want to do to achieve is be able to grow my business more than what I'm doing now. I am a small business. I'm solo at the moment. You know, like I said, I just bought my 2 zero turns. I got push mowers, weed eaters and everything at that, blowers, backpack sprayer. So I'm pretty much growing from where I was about 3 or 4 years ago. I want to be able to achieve as far as, you know, getting employees and growing my business. And I want to start venture out into hardscaping. That's the biggest thing I want to do. And I also want to start doing roll-off dumpsters as well. Because I know those down here, everyone needs it because we got hit with a hurricane. So everybody needs debris pickup. Everybody needs the yards looking good and clean. So that's just one thing I've really been having in my mind, just kind of doing more of what I'm doing now, but just being able to have that manpower to keep on going. But it's definitely a goal that I'm trying to reach as far as that goes.
Well, what are some of the challenges that you have faced in the last 4 years running your business?
Yeah, honestly, man, the last couple of years have been real tough for me, just financially, just trying to get out of a hole and being financially stable and just being able to keep as much clients as possible. I know when inflation happened, I lost a lot of clients, so that kind of put me in a hole too, because it was just one of those things where people just couldn't afford it, and you know, everybody was going through a difficult time, especially with this hurricane too. I mean, people were forking out thousands and thousands of dollars to have their houses repaired. So the last thing that they're looking for is the lawn care until once everybody got situated.
Well, how are you investing into yourself and your business? What are you doing to help you succeed?
So I really just kind of invest my business in being able to market it myself and put myself out there and do a lot of marketing for my business. That way people can know who I am and do these podcasts a lot and do these business cards and, just being able to, you know, say who I am. I offer quality work and I always go beyond for my clients and do more than they expected, because that's what makes the difference.
I think the thing that will set you apart from anyone else in your area is if you will be a man of your word and do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it.
And oh, yeah, most definitely.
I like to say show up and show out.
Oh, yeah.
And when you leave a property, it's the best looking property in the neighborhood.
And, you know, it's so funny that you say that, man, because, you know, there's been times where I was on a job and I hired someone of my buddies or they come help me. And we go above and beyond for our clients. And, you know, I've had people walk down the street and just be like, man, that yard looks good. And they'll come outside and say, hey, can you give me a business card and start doing my yard? I say, yeah, of course. So it's always a blessing, man. I love all my clients. You know, I love how that feeling you get whenever you do a good job and then someone recognizes your work, because then it really just separates yourself from other clients. Because I know down here we got some of these companies that will do like a half job, and they'll just get in there and get out there and get paid and not even complete the job. So me personally, I just can't do that, because if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it right, the right way the first time.
Right. Well, I've got some customers that I've had for 16 years.
Wow.
They come on board when I first started my business, and I've been able to maintain them for 16 years. Now, some of them are getting older and can no longer live by themselves. Their houses are up for sale. So I'm going to lose a few of them. But if I can encourage you to just do the best job you can do, and you will maintain those customers. And it's because of those customers that I have more customers, because that word of mouth, when they're happy with your services, they'll tell all of their family, their friends, their people at church, they'll tell everybody they know about your service and the quality of job that you do.
Right. And I agree with you 100%, man, because, you know, it's one of those things where it goes back in time. Like, you know, when one door closes, another one opens.
Right.
So when you really can't just fear yourself and be like, oh, man, I'm losing clients. You know, like I said, when one door closes, another one opens. And really, it's all about having faith in yourself and having faith in God, too, because, you know, when you have faith in God, you know, especially when it comes in running a business or anything you do in life, you know, he points you into the right direction to where you need to be in life, and you'll start to see a clear path down the road.
Right. Well, what is one mistake that maybe you made early on that you would like to caution new businesses to avoid?
You know, I've never really ever thought about that. But one thing to avoid is just being able to try not to make really mistakes as much. I mean, that's really what I can really say on that, is being able to stay on top of the game. And because everything you do in life is a learning experience, whether you make a mistake on this and that, but you learn from it and you do better.
Right. Well, I would caution people, and maybe you will agree with me, to try not to get too big too quick. You don't want to put more on yourself than what you can bear in those early days of your business. Because if you do that, you can become overwhelmed, which leads to frustration, which leads to people giving up and quitting.
Right. And that's the thing. If you start something, you really can't quit. You just kind of have to keep on going in order to succeed in life. Even whenever you have dark moments, you feel like this ain't right for you, you shouldn't do this, you just got to get up and have that positive mindset and have a positive attitude about everything you do in life. And even when you start to get frustrated, you got to stop and think about it for a minute and say, hey, look, what can I do better from what I did a few minutes ago or today or yesterday or however you want to put it?
Right. The goal should be, I want to be better tomorrow than I was today.
Most definitely.
And let me ask you this. What is your proudest moment in running your business?
Honestly, growing. I never really thought that I was going to get this far. My proudest moment was buying a truck on my own, paying it for in cash, having it all paid off for. Another proud moment was buying my first trailer, my first zero turn. I was like, man, I started out with my dad's push mower. Now I got a trailer truck and a zero turn.
Right.
So I was like, man, I'm doing all this. And that was just a course in 6 months. I did all that in 6 months. And because I had a part-time job that I used to work at a golf course, you know, running the maintenance crew and stuff like that. So I had a lot of money saved up for that until I started my business. And now I was like, man, it honestly, man, for real, for me, it kind of just started out as, you know, like a part-time thing. I wasn't really 100% sure that I really wanted to make a business out of it. I just knew I wanted to have a business of my own one day. So I just realized, I was like, well, I'm good at cutting grass. I'm good at bushes. I'm good at pine straw. So, you know, why not give it a shot and look where I'm at now?
Well, it sounds like you're doing well.
And yes, sir.
Have you been to Equip?
Are you talking about the expo?
Yes.
Man, you know what? I've been wanting to go to that thing for some time now. I was supposed to go this year, but I was in a car accident, and you know, I got sick during COVID and different things like that, so I couldn't able to make it. So man, I'm gonna try my best to go next year, man. It's something I'm really looking forward to. I heard it's a good time though.
Yes, we had a great time last year. Looking forward to this year. If you go this year, let's connect while we're there.
Yeah, most definitely, man. That would be awesome. I would love to do that and connect with you. I do greatly appreciate it. Let me ask you a question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So during these slow months, you know, everyone's different. Everybody runs their business different than others. What works for you may not work for me type situation. What would you say that you do more in the winter months versus, you know, the spring and the growing season? Y'all do leaves? Do y'all do cleanups?
We do a lot of leaf cleanups, and that usually lasts until the end of November. And then we are into snow plowing.
And wow.
We got 12 inches of snow last week.
12 inches?
Yes. So we were busy all week plowing snow. But another service that we offer, in the slow season, we build a lot of privacy fences.
Nice. That's so good money.
That's just another revenue opportunity for us.
That's awesome. Y'all do how does that work, man? If you don't mind me asking, when you do snow plowing, how do you— I've always been curious because I live in Georgia, and down here in Georgia, especially Augusta where I'm at, we don't get any snow. We just had like probably not even an inch of snow just a couple days ago, but it didn't stick. As far as snow plowing goes, how do you charge for something like that? Do y'all do like a square footage, or do y'all just do by the amount of snow, or how's that work?
I go by a snow tier. 2 to 4 inches is one price. Right. 4 to 6 inches is another price. 6 inches to 8 inches is a higher price. And anything over 8 inches, I charge a flat rate plus an hourly rate. Because okay. The more snow you get, the harder it is to keep things cleaned up.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And the longer it takes to clean stuff up, and the harder it is on your equipment.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, man, I've always been kind of curious how that works. A buddy of mine, he actually used to live in West Des Moines, Iowa, whatever, and it snowed like no other. They probably got, I think one year he said they probably got like about 2 or 3 feet of snow one year, and it was really bad. And he said that he did all the parking lots for Walmart's. He did all the commercial sites, and dude, I think he was pulling in at least $30,000-$40,000 a month. Mm-hmm. So he was killing the game.
Yeah, that's not unrealistic. You can make a lot of money. I mean, it's hard work because there's been times I've been in my truck for 40 straight hours.
Wow.
And, you know, pull off the side of the road or in a parking lot, take a 20-minute nap, and keep on going.
That's it, man. I mean, you don't— it's like you don't even have to lift a finger, man. You just kind of have to sit there and do the best of your abilities and keep on going and take freaking breaks and just kind of knock it out, man.
Yeah, but it's more mind stressful than it is physical. Exactly. Labor.
I agree 100%.
Well, let me ask you this.
Okay.
What are you currently doing to build your brand?
Really marketing. Like I said, I really just kind of structure my company to where I have a goal and I have a plan that I want to reach for the upcoming season. I've really rebranded. I've honestly probably rebranded my business twice in the last year. Just different logos, a different trademark, and different colors and stuff of that. I'm really going to start putting all my logos and get my truck wrapped and being able to put logos on my truck. That way people can really know who I am and I'll stand out, because I'm in the process of trying to build a actual web page, because I have a Facebook page, but I want to be able to build a website on the internet where people can just look me up and get a bunch of ads and things of that matter. That's what I want to do.
Yeah, it's important to have your logo on your truck, match a logo on a shirt, a hat. That way, when everyone sees you, they get used to that logo and they know who you are.
Definitely. And you can market to people. Like, even like my friends will kind of make fun of me a little bit. They say, why do you always wear your work hoodie everywhere you go? I was like, it just looks kind of silly. I was like, well, not really, man, because I'm a walking billboard, and I get people who take a picture behind my back, and they look me up, they call me, man. So it's like, that's why I do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're a walking billboard, whether it's on your hoodie, your shirt, and like you said, your hat. So it's like, then people see you and get in the work, trying to say, oh, I remember him. I seen him at such and such. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've had people tap me on the shoulder and read the back of my sweatshirt and ask me for an estimate. So,
oh, wow.
You know, building that brand is so important.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Because there's so many chucks in the truck that are legitimate businesses out here mowing grass, and you want to separate yourself from that type of person and brand yourself to where people identify you as a legitimate business that does what he says he's going to do, that shows up when he says he's going to show up, and he's a man of integrity and a man of his word.
Oh, yeah, and that's the thing, man, and that's what I really kind of tell people. You know, when you hire me or a business, I like to put out that quality work, not quantity. Just because I know if like a new client that calls me, I have a minimum price for mowing grass, or I have a minimum for a set rate for pine straw, or just whatever they're looking for. And I will sit there and kind of minimize everything, put everything down on my on the estimate invoice. I write everything down per verbatim, per job line item, and I send it out to them. That way they know what they're getting and what they're paying for as far as the quality goes. And just being able to do the right thing, and I show up on top. And the biggest thing that I do, I always send out reminders. That is the biggest thing you have to do. Most people just show up without even telling people, which me personally, I don't think that's a good idea to do, just because you never know the situation. They may not want you to be there that day, or they have something going on. So I always like to send out reminders the day before the service. That way I give them a heads up. And if they, sometimes I will be honest with them. Sometimes I do run a little bit late. We're all humans. We all do things that we have to do, take care of. So I usually like to send out reminders the day before and say, hey, I will be there in the morning, or I'll be there mid-afternoon. I just don't give out times, just because I don't want to say I'll be there 12:30 and then I'm showing up till like 3. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I like to tell people, hey, this is the time frame: early morning, mid-morning, or afternoon.
Well, what I do is I don't give any of my customers a time frame. I give them a day. I schedule them, and if they're on Monday, they know sometime Monday I'll be there.
Yeah, and that's smart, man. I just can't fathom how people will not do that. It's just, like I said in the beginning, you know, sometimes people will just be like, oh, well, why are you here? Well, we have an emergency. We can't pay you today. So it's all about what works for you, and just having that reminders and telling people I will be there. And all my clients understand. You know, I've had some issues this year. I had my truck break down a couple times. I wasn't able to make it, and I said, hey, I'm going to have to reschedule. And they all understand that. Everyone, I love, like I said, I love all my clients. They all love me, and they understand. Life can hit hard sometimes, and we all go through times of struggles and tribulations. But you know,
well, when that happens, communication is key.
Yeah, I agree with you. It definitely is key for sure.
You know, most people understand situations that you cannot control. Now, it's different if I'm just staying home and being lazy for the day. But if I have a situation like a truck breaking down or a mower going down, and I call them and I say, hey, my truck broke down. It's in the shop. It's getting worked on. I'll be there as soon as I can. They're going to understand that.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Can I ask you a question, not to change the subject?
Sure.
What would you say your minimum is as far as grass mowing? What's the rate up there?
I won't drop my trailer gate for less than 65.
65?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
And then it goes up from there.
Right.
I've got some properties that are $250 to $300 to mow.
Oh yeah. I had a client reach out to me that was about on a almost 4-acre lot, and I think she told me that she used to be a disabled vet, and so you know, I was looking out for her, man. You know, I wasn't gonna charge her an arm and a leg. I mean, it took me about 2 hours to do it. And so I say, you know, for this job, it'd be like $170. So usually I should have charged her way more than that. But, you know, she's looked out for me. She's gave me a lot of clients and stuff like that. So, you know, sometimes it's always good to look out for people because you just never know what they could do for you, man. So, and she actually gave me 2 commercial accounts. So, I mean, I'm glad I did it for her because, like I said, she's on a fixed income. So I looked out for her. And, you know, I do the best of my abilities to try to help people out. And, you know, up here where I'm at, I have a minimum at $65 to $75. I usually like to keep it between $65 and $75. I used to, years ago, man, when I did this, I really didn't know how to charge. I really didn't know how to price things just because I was young. I didn't have that experience. And I was thinking back in the day, I think I was charged to be like $30 to cut grass. So I was like, man, this ain't enough money.
Right.
So, man, so now I keep between $65 and $75 biweekly.
Well, you got to know your worth. You got to know your value.
Oh, yeah.
And definitely. You got to know exactly how long you're going to be on that job, what your expenses are to do that job.
And the thing is, I've gotten it down to the T, man. I can sit there and look at a job and know exactly how long that I will be there and how long this job is going to take. And just being able to, you know, because like I said, I got subdivisions that I will sit there and I got maybe about 6, 7, 8, or 9, 10 yards on that one subdivision. So I can probably have about maybe 10 yards cut within 2 hours, back to back, and they're all right beside each other. They're all cookie cutter homes, so it don't take me long at all. Now, if I'm doing like any installations, like, you know, mulch, rocks, pea gravel, flower bed maintenance, pruning, and stuff, you know, obviously that's going to take a little bit more time. So, just charging accordingly is what you have to do. But like I said, man, I've got subdivisions where I got at least 10 to 11 yards per subdivision.
Well, the price is what it is. If it's a $65 or a $70 yard, then that's what it's going to take for me to do that job.
Exactly.
I asked a lady one time, I said, do you go to the grocery store, and when they ring up all of your groceries and they tell you your bill is whatever, $150.
Right.
Do you tell the cashier that that's too high, I'm only going to pay you $100?
You ain't never going to tell them that because no. They don't want to hear it.
And lawn care is no different. The price is the price is what it is.
Yeah, you know. Can I interrupt real quick?
Sure.
It's funny how you say that because I had someone call me and they wanted me to you know, trim all the lorapelums back. They wanted me to cut the grass and pick up the leaves on the side of the yard. And, you know, I don't know if it was just maybe I was in a bad area or whatnot. And I don't judge people by where they live because, you know, that's just something that I don't do. He wanted me, I gave him a price for, because, you know, the grass was probably about maybe a foot tall, so it needed a cleanup. It wasn't going to be a maintenance price. It was going to be a cleanup price. The bushes need to be trimmed, and the leaves need to be picked up. So in total job was about maybe $600, and he just kind of got all pissed off and said, yeah, I'm not paying that. Told me to F you and just get off the property, and he was just like, that's ridiculous. And I respectfully, I was like, sir, and I mean, this is what it takes for me to do that. We're talking about maybe 5-6 hours worth of work, and you're looking for a cleanup, and I had to pick up trash out the yard, too. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. When it comes to that, sometimes you just kind of say, hey, to yourself, that's not my client, because if they don't respect you as a company, then they ain't going to respect you as a person either. So, I mean, they can just get out there and do it themselves, and that it is what it is, and that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, well, the longer you're in business, you will find out who your ideal customer is, what your ideal neighborhood is, or area of your town is, and then you will be able to target those areas and those people and build a better client-business relationship. And that comes by experience, and that comes by making some mistakes and learning from them. You know, when I first started out, I was clueless as to what I should charge.
Right.
But I got to, you know, putting pencil to paper, and I figured out real quick that I'm not making any money on this yard. Because by the time I pay for my gas to get there, my gas and the mower, a helper, you know, you subtract all of that from the $30 I was charging, I'm making peanuts.
Yeah, exactly.
So I encourage you, and I try every year, if not every other year, to raise my prices.
Yeah, you got to, especially during inflation, because, it's just one of those things, man. You know, when inflation goes up, you have to up your price. And some people, I just feel like they just don't understand that, because some people will look at me and be like, oh, well, what am I paying for if I'm paying you $75? Because they'll be like, well, last year I was paying you $50, or last year I was paying you $25, or just whatever. And I kindly had to explain to them. I said, well, the prices go up, fuel has gone up, equipment has gone up, the prices on everything gone up, so I had to raise my prices too. And that's the thing, I just feel like some people may not understand, but you kind of have to explain that to them. Maybe they might change their mind, and some, if they don't, then just move on.
Right. And that's part of learning who your ideal customer is.
Exactly.
And I explained to them, you know, gas is over $3 a gallon. My insurance is not just vehicle insurance, it's commercial vehicle insurance, which is more expensive.
Oh, yeah, I agree 100%. You're exactly right.
And, you know, I'm not out here just cutting grass. I'm a licensed professional.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not a teenage kid trying to raise a little money to where I can take my girlfriend out for pizza.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to make a living for my family.
Yeah,
and provide a living for my employees' families.
I feel like some people think they can just pay the lawn care guys whenever they want and when they want. I think some of these clients look at us like we're a bunch of peanuts, as you said, and we're not. We're a company just like anyone else. You know, like you said before, they're not going to go to the store and say, hey, look, I got over $200 worth of groceries, and the cash register is not, she ain't going to want to hear all that at the end of the day. So, you just got to stand your ground and don't let people push you over and get you down. It's just about, hey, pick and choose who your clients are and, you know, kind of go from there. And let me ask you a question real quick, because I tend to run into this problem quite a lot. What do you do when clients have animals in the backyard and they don't pick up after them? Because personally, for me, man, I've had some clients that never pick up after them. I usually give them a verbal warning once. I let it slide once or twice, but after the third and fourth time, I just got to fire her, man, because I don't have time to keep picking up after dog poop and having to clean it off my equipment, using the hose, and taking it back home. It's just, I just don't need that.
Well, I had a customer that promised me they would clean up their dog waste. And the first time I showed up after they made that promise, it wasn't done. I ran over a pile, got it all in my mower tires. I smelled it the rest of the day. So I told him, I said, listen, you said you would pick up the dog waste and you didn't. If I come back again and it's not picked up, your price just went up $15 because you're going to pay for me to clean my mower off.
Right. I had a man that just got rid of me a couple days ago. He was like, he was disabled, whatever, and he was like probably in his 70s or 80s, and his wife was pretty young. There ain't nothing wrong with her. He trusted me as a person because he gave me his key to his backyard because he's got a fence, a chain link fence with a gate, and it usually takes me about maybe 15, 20 minutes to have the grass mowed front and back, man. And he has these three Rottweilers, and he said, look, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'm not going to go out my way to go pick up after my dogs. You're just going to have to do it like everyone else and take your equipment back home and clean it. I said, I'm not doing that. That's not my responsibility. Unfortunately, we're just going to have to part ways.
Right. And you got to stand your ground, because if you let one person slide, to be fair, you have to let everyone slide.
Exactly. And that's the thing, man. And that's what I said before. If they don't respect you, then you're just going to have to say, hey, it is what it is, and just move on. And trust me, more will come.
Well, you got to set a policy, and then you got to stick to that policy. And if it's you don't clean up, I don't mow. If I show up and there's dog waste all over the backyard, then I'm not mowing the backyard. We'll get it next week after you clean everything up.
Yeah.
So set your policy and stick to it. That would be my definitely advice.
Yeah, and that's smart, man. I've gotten really strict about some of the stuff, and that's what I'm going to do this year, man, is start setting some ground rules. For any new clients coming up, I'm going to set some rules aside to say I'm not responsible for your dog waste, toys out in the yard, just little things that's going to stop me from getting away, because, I mean, time is money right now, and I just don't got time to deal with no headaches. And just kind of set aside, like, as far as like the payment plan, too, that's another thing that I'm going to include. Because, you know, I've had a lot of people, man, I've had a lot of people will just ask me why I'm charging 3% on a Visa debit MasterCard, because, you know, us lawn care guys, we have to pay the fees. You have to pay out the fees, and every 3% per 100 clients, that's a lot of money you're losing if you're not paying out the fees.
Right. Well, it's for their convenience, not yours.
Exactly.
You know, you're making it convenient for them to pay their bill.
Yes.
It's not convenient for you. Well, it kind of is, because you get your money quicker. But the convenience falls on the customer. I'm trying to make it as easy as possible for you to pay your bill. And I'm not going to eat the 3%. If so, then the price just went up 3%. So yeah, I still get... Yeah.
Right. And I feel like it's the same thing as if you go out to eat. Personally, I feel like it's disrespectful when you go out to eat and you don't leave a tip, especially if the waiter was really good to you. They made sure that you had everything, that you're good every moment. So a good waiter deserves a good tip, you know, 5-10% or whatever. But I mean, I'm saying if the service wasn't good, that's one thing. So it's kind of the same way if you look at it.
Right, absolutely, and I'm a tipper. We tip big,
Oh, yeah.
Those waitresses are depending on those tips.
Oh, yeah.
Because their hourly wage isn't much at all.
Mm-mm. I think it's, what, $3 an hour for them.
Yeah, yeah, for some. But, yeah, you know, I would just advise you to set your policies when it comes to dog waste, when it comes to billing your customers. And I wouldn't let customers ride. You can't afford to let a customer ride 2 or 3 weeks because now they owe you for 4 weeks when you show up again. So, you know, if they don't pay you within 3 or 4 weeks, there's a good chance they might not pay you.
Oh, yeah. And that's happened to me plenty of times. I've had clients that didn't even pay their bill. And I said, look, any late fee, it's going to be, I'm charging more to the bill. Just because I need my money, you know, right. What I'm saying? I've been servicing this property for about a month now, and it's been over a month and you still haven't paid it. And I'm not going to tolerate that this year. I did it before. I did it years ago in my business. And now that I'm professional now, I'm just not going to do it.
No, I wouldn't be opposed to advising you at 20%. If they're late, they can pay a late fee.
Yeah.
And I learned that the hard way. I let a lady ride for a few weeks.
Wow.
And then, this was years ago, and then I thought, you know, this is crazy. She's not paid me. Why should I go back and work and sweat in the 90-degree weather and not get paid? I'm not doing it.
Yeah, you can't, man, because this is the time, the season picks up, it gets hot outside. We got a lot of jobs we got to do, so you know, you got to make sure we get paid. I really kind of advise get paid when the service is rendered, just like anyone else.
Right. We had a plumber come to our house and do a job. When he was done and closed his toolbox, he expected a check right then.
Before or after the job?
After the job, when he closed his toolbox and was done, he expected a check. So why shouldn't lawn care be the same way?
Yeah, exactly. Because like I said before, man, I feel like people just take us as a joke. But, you know, you just kind of have to separate yourself from the good and the bad clients.
Right. Well, let me ask you one more question here.
Okay, go ahead.
What do you do for fun, a hobby?
You know, I like to travel, man, on my free time when I do. I like to travel and kind of see the world a little bit. I like to go to the beach. I'm a beach type of person. I was born in May, the 18th of May, so the summer months. I like to do that, like work on cars and stuff like that. I'm really good on that. And just kind of living the dream, man, as much as I possibly can, because we only live once. You kind of just don't live your life for work all the time. Sometimes you want to be able to separate your work life to your personal life and, you know, give yourself that downtime to be able to do what you want to do that makes you happy and be able to travel or do this or do that and just have hobbies. I'm really big into sports, too. One of my biggest sports is football, man. I'm a diehard Georgia fan, born and raised in Georgia, man. And I already know your team the other day. I already know we lost to y'all boys, but y'all put up a good game. So I'll give you that.
We are Notre Dame.
Yeah, Notre Dame, man. Y'all look good.
Well, let me ask you this. Where can our listeners connect with you and where can they learn more about your business?
Y'all can connect me on, I'm on all the social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook is my biggest one, you know, TikTok, I'm on TikTok, I got 2 accounts on TikTok, so my main source would be Facebook, TikTok, and IG.
Okay, well, thanks again for coming on the show.
Yeah, yes, sir, I appreciate your time, thank you for having me.
And to all of our listeners, thank you for tuning in to The Lawn Hustle. Don't forget to subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating and a nice review. If you found today's episode helpful, I appreciate your review and your rating. Until next time, keep hustling, keep growing, and always keep the grass green on your side.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for joining the Lon Hustle. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Have a blessed night, man. Take care.
You too. Thank you.
Yes, sir.